from the book of Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and verse 9. But before we get to that passage, we want to bring your attention to a point made by the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. And there's another passage we don't see young Harton Jolene. He's of great help with the reading. Anyway, let us hear that passage in Colossians, then you'll turn to one in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let us hear the passage.
For this cause we also...
I want you to listen. For this cause...
We also... Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray.
We have not ceased to pray
for you, and to desire that ye might be filled.
Notice, and to be desire that you might be filled
with the knowledge of His will.
With the knowledge of His will. Wait. It's important that we get this, because just setting the foundation for an important point. Paul is saying that they are praying that the Colossians Christian be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Very important. Look now in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17.
Wherefore? Be ye not unwise.
Be you not unwise.
But understanding what the
but
will...
But instead of being an unwise man or woman...
But understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Wait. But understand what the will of the Lord is, implying that when a person does not understand God's will, that person is unwise. Notice the two passages. One of them expressed the desire that the Colossians Christian would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. The other one is that the Christian would understand what the will of God is.
That's right.
We tie that with what Jesus Christ taught in the book of Matthew, I think chapter 7, that it's not everyone that call upon God's name, upon Jesus' name. Huh?
That's right.
Everybody remember that passage. It's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall be saved, but he that what?
Do it
His will. These words we have just read in Colossians and Ephesians, and Jesus is teaching in Matthew, that it's not merely calling upon Jesus Christ, but the person who practices God's will. These words are both instructive and important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because forgiveness of sin. Mm-hmm. Because right relationship with God. And serving God acceptably are all dependent on you and I knowing the will of God. Any proper relationship with the Almighty God is dependent on you and I knowing the will of God. If we are going to serve Him properly, if we are going to relate to Him properly, if we are going to gain forgiveness of sin, it is dependent on knowing and doing His will. Now, this brings us to the lesson for today. Namely, that is, doing God's will involves divine pattern. Notice, we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, Colossians 1, 9, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. We look in the passage of Matthew, where Jesus Christ said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth his will." The point I'm now making, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is that doing God's will and serving God involves divine pattern. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God, as we are going to see, have pattern for the men and women under the Old Testament system.
That's right.
What do you mean by pattern? The Almighty God had to direct the children of Israel how they should serve Him. It was never left up to their guesses, their whims, their fancies, their likes, their dislikes. God had to spell out the how. God had to give them a model. The Almighty God gave them an outline. The Almighty God gave them a copy. The Almighty God gave them a blueprint to follow. The Almighty God gave them a sketch. Now, all these words I'm using about model, blueprint, sketch, all these words, outline, copy, they are saying the same thing. The Almighty God provided this. Let us hear the passage of Exodus 25 again. We want verse 8 and 9, and we want verse 40. Remember the point that doing God's will and serving the Almighty God, it involves a pattern. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God did not leave that up to our imagination.
That's right.
Up to our likes, up to how we see things. God furnished a pattern, a blueprint, a copy in respect to how it should be done. Let us hear the passage of Proverbs, of Exodus, chapter 25.
"And let them make me a sanctuary."
God said to Moses, "Direct the children of Israel to make me a sanctuary,
that I may dwell among them."
That I may dwell among them. Wait. This is about the tabernacle. The tabernacle built by Moses represented God's presence among the Israelites.
That's right.
Watch it. It could not be built just any and any way.
Amen.
So the Almighty God is now providing a blueprint, a copy, a model for the tabernacle. Wait, wait, what is the tabernacle? It was simply a little tent-like building. A building built like a tent that was movable. Because the children of Israel were on the move as they traveled towards the promised land. But watch here, this tent-like building, a building that's shaped like a tent, represents God's presence among the Israelites. It tells the Israelites that God was among them. So the Almighty God is now telling Moses how this is to be done. Let us hear it. Start again at verse 8.
And let them make me a sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
that I may dwell among them,
uh-huh.
according to all that I show thee.
Wait, wait, wait. Everybody got that? You shouldn't let that miss you. The tabernacle should be according to what?
According to all that I show thee.
According to some of the things that I've shown to you.
All.
You sure it said that?
All.
Everybody heard that? The Almighty God, don't move, bro. The Almighty God was here giving Moses a blueprint for the tabernacle. Can you use another word instead of blueprint, Brother Mitchell? Yes. The Almighty God was giving Moses a pattern for the tabernacle. Can you give another word for blueprint or copy? Yes. The Almighty God was giving Moses an outline for the tabernacle.
That's right.
The Almighty God was giving Moses a sketch. Brother Mitchell, why is that important? Why God couldn't just leave it up to Moses to build something? No! It must be a pattern given by God.
Amen.
Wait, 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 wait. Let me tell you where we are going. We are traveling in this lesson. And we are going to where we are going to see that God provide a pattern for us today.
That's right.
You and I, contrary to the popular belief and practice out there, we cannot serve God just any and any way, and it is acceptable to God.
That's right.
That's where we are traveling to. But you see, we are laying down the foundation to show you that it has always been in keeping with the nature of God to let men and women know that if you are going to serve God in an acceptable way, if you are going to be pleasing to God, it must be done God's way. Wait, wait, not according to your feeling or my feeling, not according to your likes or my likes, not according to how you or I see things, but according to God's pattern, God's blueprint. You were in the book of Exodus chapter 25. You were somewhere around verse 8 or 9, brother. Let us hear it.
According to all that I show thee.
You must build the tabernacle according to all that I have shown thee.
After the pattern.
Wait, wait. After the pattern. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Like the pattern I give you.
That's right.
Just like the blueprint that I give you.
That's right.
Just like the outline that I give you. Just like the copy that I give you. Don't stray from that pattern.
That's right.
Anything else in the verse, brother?
And the pattern of all the instruments thereof.
Yeah. The very instrument. Some of the instrument was like what we have in the communion table. You know, different things for different purpose. Those two were to be built. Watch here, not as Moses like it.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the pattern which the Almighty God gave. That was about verse 9?
Yes.
Step down 40. To verse 30, 40.
And look that thou make them after their pattern.
Verse 40 is the final verse in the chapter, if my memory serves me right.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Are we all there? The final verse in the chapter, and the Almighty God is as if it were sort of warning Moses. Read verse 40 again.
And look that
look,
thou...
Look, that is, see to it.
That thou make them after their pattern.
Everybody gets that? According to the pattern is the title for the lesson today. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, from the very beginning of time, from the Almighty God set out to have frail, sinful men and women relate to him in a right way. God left examples upon examples to teach us that serving and relating to the Almighty God acceptably was never dependent on our good and sincere feeling. Never.
That's right.
Mr. Mitchell, could you say that again? Thank you for asking me. From the very beginning of time, from God created the world and man sinned, and God had to direct man in respect to how can sinful men get back to God in a right way. The Almighty God has always left pattern. Are we all there? To show man that serving and relating to the Almighty God in an acceptable way was never dependent on our good or our sincere feelings. It was never dependent on what we like, how we see things, but always and forever on God's pattern, always. If men and women going to relate to God, to get their sins forgiven, to stand holy, righteous, saved, sanctified on the day of judgment, it is going to be by men and women following the pattern that God has given.
Amen.
Are we all there? Look at Jeremiah, a passage that we have read or quoted here quite often. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 and 24. Let us hear it.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
I know that the way of man is
I know that the way of man
is not in himself.
Is not in himself.
It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
When you talk about the way of man, it's not talk about the way you eat. It's not even talking about the way you walk physically, even though it uses the word walk. Because the word walk in the passage means directing your life in a right and godly way.
That's right.
That is what under consideration. Notice the passage. Oh Lord,
I
Jeremiah
know.
The prophet is acknowledging to God, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Read on. It is?
It is not in man.
It is not in man that walketh
to direct his steps.
You all get what I get from that? Huh? The passage is saying we need a pattern.
That's right.
The passage is saying we need directive from God.
That's right.
We need a model from God. We need a pattern from God to know how to direct our step morally and spiritually. If you are going to stand right before God, if you are going to worship God properly and rightly, it cannot be dependent on how you feel.
That's right.
It's going to be dependent on God's pattern. Oh Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh
to direct his,
to direct his own step. What, Jeremiah? We need a pattern. We need a blueprint from God.
That's right.
That was verse 23. Let us hear verse 24.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Correct me.
Uh-huh.
But with judgment.
Uh-huh.
Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing.
You see, that's why we need pattern. That's why we need God. You notice verse 24, correct me. Why do we need correction? Because we go out of God's way.
That's right.
And the first thing the prophet acknowledged is that we cannot furnish that which is going to correct us. We cannot furnish that which we need to put us on the right path. Hence, God, correct me. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Verse 3 through 5. Quick, quick, quick.
And in process of time.
In process of time.
It came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock.
Wait, wait, ladies and gentlemen. You follow what the brothers just read? The Bible is talking about worship. Worship. Now, two brothers, did I say two brothers? Yes. Two brothers worshiping the same God. You need to get this. Because you've heard in society, from I was a little boy growing up, I heard we are all using the same Bible and we are worshiping the same God. Haven't you heard that? Yes. And by that, men and women are assuming that because we claim to be using the same Bible and claim that we are worshiping the same God, God will accept all of us.
No, sir.
But listen, here you have two brothers. Huh? Am I right?
That's right.
From the same mother, same father. Huh? They were worshiping the same God, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems they were doing it at the same place, huh? That's Cain and Abel. In the process of time, what happened, Brother Cain?
The process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto
an
the Lord.
An offering unto the Lord. That means he set out to worship the Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
That's wonderful. That's great. That a man or woman wanted to serve, to worship God. Read on, brother.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings.
The other brother also set out to worship God.
That's right.
Read on, brother.
Firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord had respected unto Abel and to his offering.
Uh-huh.
But unto Cain and unto his offering, he had not respect.
Somebody didn't hear that. Somebody didn't hear that. We are all using the same Bible and we are worshiping the same God. Well, here you have it. Two brothers worshiping the same God. Brother Mitchell, were they using the same Bible? Yes. What do you mean? They got the same instruction.
That's right.
From God. But the passage, that little part, and the Lord had what, brother?
Not respect.
No, read totality of that little of that part.
But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect.
Do everybody get it? Two brothers worshiping the same God. It has nothing to do with insincerity or sincerity. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? Both of them were sincere. So don't leave this place telling yourself, Mr. Mitchell, God rejected Cain worship because he was insincere. How do I know that Cain was sincere? When he saw that God rejected his worship and accepted his brother, he was so disappointed that he couldn't take it out on God. You know who he took it out on?
His brother.
He killed his brother because of disappointment. So that tells me that the man was sincere. Watch here, but sincerity alone does not make our worship acceptable to God.
Preach, preach.
The worship must follow God's pattern.
That's right, that's right.
Are we all there? Cain followed his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Abel followed the word of God. The example, the pattern that God gave. You want to hear a little of it? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 17.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God does not accept every worship.
That's right.
That's one of the reasons God recorded this ancient lesson of these two brothers. They got the same instruction, worshiping the same God. Almost at the same place, God accepted one of the worship and rejected the other. One of these brothers worshiped God according to God's word.
That's right.
That's God's pattern. That's God's blueprint. That's God's sketch given to them. The other one worshiped God according to his own feeling. You were reading, brother. Read.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
The same thing that we have just read in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, from around verse 3 to verse 5, is that which the brother is now reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith,
Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
How come? Two brothers worshiping the same God, got the same instruction. God accepted one of the worship and rejected the other. Here the Bible-inspired writer of Hebrew telling us that by faith, wait. By faith, Abel, notice by faith, somebody in the audience said, thank God, Brother Mitchell, I believe. Well, you see, this faith means more than belief.
That's right.
We're coming to that. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That is a better worship than his brother.
That's right.
You never know that one worship can be better than others. That's what I tell you in the beginning. God brought you here today to learn this because you know that this is not from me. It's from the Bible. It's right there. In your Bible, Hebrews, the brother is at Hebrews chapter 11, and the brother is reading from verse 4. Previously, we read from Genesis chapter 4 and from verse 3 to verse 5. Cain and Abel, two brothers worshiping the same God, got the same instruction. In other words, they were using the same Bible. But God accepted one. Wait, brother, you're not finished reading now?
By which he obtained witness that he was righteous.
Mm-hmm.
God testifying of his gifts.
You hear? Notice the emphasis is on his worship. When the Bible talks about God testifying of his gift, The emphasis is on the man's worship that was accepted. His brother's worship was rejected. The same thing is happening today.
That's right.
Don't ever believe. Remember, some worship we see today, it's nothing but entertainment.
That's right. That's right.
Worship was never meant to be entertainment for the worshiper. Wait. I don't charge you for this. I'm giving you a little brother. When you come to worship, you must come with the idea to give God something. You don't come to get. No, we usually get blessing from God. Encouragement, enlightenment, challenge. We get all of that. But the concept in worship is that you come to give God honor, reverence, and all of that. Don't come to be entertained. That's right. Come to give to God, because you have been getting from God all week. Are we all here? You get health and strength, you get food, you get the oxygen you breathe, you get everything from God. Worship is that moment when you believe that God is worthy of the adoration, of the reverence, of the honor that you give to him. So worship is all about giving to God.
Right.
If you are coming to be entertained, then you're not going to worship God like that. Were you finished in Hebrews? Yes. But so watch here now. By faith, the brothers just read that. Isn't that what you read?
That's right.
That what you read? Watch here now. Watch me now. Now, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Watch me now. The brothers just read this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 4. Watch me now in Romans, chapter 10 and verse 17. Wait, we want to understand this faith better. Huh? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Let us understand this faith better as we turn to the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Let us hear it.
So then. Faith cometh by hearing.
Uh-huh.
And hearing by the word of God.
You get the drift? When the Bible in Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 11 and verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a better worship than his brother Cain. It meant by listening to God's word and following God's word.
That's right.
He was able to offer a better worship.
That's right.
Because here you have just read it in Romans chapter 10, 7. So then, it's like the inspired writer knew that we need to understand faith better. And it's like he's approaching it like he's teaching. It's like he reached a point in his class where he said, this is what I mean. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing
by the word of God.
That is, faith comes by hearing the word of God.
That's right.
Meaning, saving faith must always have as its foundation the word of God. Wait. You cannot depend on your dreams.
Preach.
Even though those dreams might be religious.
Preach.
And think that is God's word. Whatever belief you develop through that dream, that faith is not saving faith. The faith that going to save us is the one that have as its foundation the word of God. The word of God. That's how Abel got his faith. The Almighty God had instructed these two brothers how to worship him. May I just drop something along here? God had asked for blood sacrifice. God had asked for blood sacrifice. One found it a little inconvenient because Cain was a farmer, while it seems Abel was a shepherd, one raised animal. And he just, that's what's wrong with us, you know. There are a lot of people cannot inconvenience themselves to serve God properly. And if we are going to serve God properly, we must be willing to inconvenience ourselves. That's right. May I? Did you know that one man traveled well over how many hundred miles to go and worship God? The Ethiopian nobleman, you read about him in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. There was worship in his land in Ethiopia, but it was idolatrous worship. He traveled all this way to make sure he worshiped God right. Give me a few more minutes to go on further in this lesson, even though the lesson today will not be completed. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, right on the point about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6.
And these things.
These things.
Brethren.
Brethren.
I have in a figure.
I have in a figure.
Transferred to myself.
I'm relating it to myself and Apollos.
And Apollos.
For your sake. In other words, the teaching I'm giving you, let me use myself and my preaching partner, Apollos, who is a servant of God, to be of help to you. Read on.
That he might learn in us.
That you might learn in us.
Not to
that
think
is,
of
you
men.
May use Apollos and myself.
Not to think
not
of
to
men.
Think
of men.
Wait. You see, the of men, you will notice that it is in italic.
That's right.
Meaning that it was dropped in by the translator to make better sense. But the original did not have the of men there. So read it as the original had it, leaving out the of men. Read it again, brother.
That he might learn in us.
Mm-hmm.
Not to think above that which is written.
Somebody didn't hear that. That you may learn in us not to think above that which is written.
That's right.
Everybody gets it? That is, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes on to relating to the Almighty God, getting your sins forgiven, serving God so that there will be a peaceful and happy eternal home for you after death. We are being taught here that we must learn not even to think above that which is written. You know what? God's pattern and blueprint is written.
That's right.
That's where you find it. It is written. And that's what we must follow, not our dreams, not our imagination. Man, sinful and ignorant as we are, man has never been left up to worship God, serve God, conduct his life guided purely by his human feeling or his likes. Man has never been left up by God to serve God, to worship God, to conduct his life based purely on human feeling. Cain tried it. The Cain we have just read about, he tried it, but it didn't work. He displeased God. I'm wrapping up now. Hopefully, we'll pick up on the rest of this lesson. In fact, let me tell you what is in store. What I'll be showing, giving some other example, that in both Old Testament and New Testament, I'm going to show some other example in the Old Testament where the Almighty God gave a pattern. Remember, we started out by showing that God brought Moses' attention to the pattern he gave him for the tabernacle. And he emphasized, the Almighty God emphasized, that Moses pay attention to the pattern. That is, to the blueprint, to the copy. What we'll be looking at, not today, because time, is that in both Old and New Testament, the Almighty God, without exception, in both Old and New Testament, the Almighty God, without exception, gave men and women a pattern to direct their spiritual and their moral life. We're going to look on about three examples in the Old Testament and look on some example in the New Testament. May I just throw this out? Did you know that the Ark of Noah was a pattern?
That's right.
In effect. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? When the Almighty God commanded Noah to build the ark, it was pointing out, in the same way the people of Noah's time could not be saved from the flood outside of Noah's ark, God was using that as a pattern pointing to the future, that man will never be saved outside of the church that Jesus Christ built.
That's right.
The Ark of Noah was a pattern. All those in this audience who have studied your Bible, just go to, not today, to Genesis chapter 6, and you'll see that the Almighty God destroyed the world then by a flood. And you know what? Only 8 people were saved. And all the 8 that were saved in the ark that Noah's built. The Almighty God was using that as a pattern, as a blueprint, as a copy, as a sketch, telling the world that when Jesus Christ would have come in the world and built his church, men and women, in order to be saved, have to find the large church referred in the Bible as the body of Christ and become a part of it by being baptized into the church, with a result to live right. Yes, the Ark of Noah was a pattern. It was a blueprint. It was a model. It was an outline. One more point. As an illustration, when the Almighty God told Noah, I'm saying Noah, told Moses, when the Almighty God used Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Almighty God, when the Israelites sinned, the Almighty God sent poisonous snake among them. When the poisonous snake bit the children of Israel, the Israelites died. Yes, they were God's people, but they were dying from the venom of the poisonous snake. The Almighty God told Moses, what you must do, Moses, is build a brazen serpent. That is a brass snake. and wrap it around the pole that was planted in the middle of Israel, of the camp. And the Almighty God told Moses to instruct the children of Israel that any Israelite that sinned and was dying, if they come and look, just look on the pole, they would live. Mm-hmm. May I? Did you know that that too was a pattern? Mm-hmm. That was a copy telling us, men and women, this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, that you have sinned. And the only way to have that sin addressed is by looking to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But wait, that looking doesn't merely mean looking with your biological eyes. It means to turn to Jesus Christ in obedience.
That's right.
In that case, the brass snake and the pole was a pattern pointing to Jesus Christ. The Almighty God has always given his people a pattern. Always. Without exception. You and I must serve him within that pattern. We must worship him within that pattern. We must live and conduct our lives within God's pattern in order to have our sins addressed. We are encouraging you not to miss the rest of this lesson as we pick up some, probably three examples in the Old Testament and some example in the New Testament, that God has never left man without a pattern from him. That is a blueprint to direct men and women how he wants to be served. If you're here today, you can become a Christian, yes? It is that simple and it is that easy. You can believe. First, you're here today. It is our assumption that you're here today because you believe in the Almighty God and you believe that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross for your sin. And that's good. If you believe that Christ died for your sin, that's good. For this is Christmas. We are not here telling you that Christ was born the 25th of December. We know that Jesus Christ was born. And we believe that. Men have set aside the 25th of December to celebrate that fact, that reality. But you are here because you believe he was born. It's good that you are here. But to be a Christian, it's not a matter of coming to church now and again. To be a Christian, you must turn your life over to Jesus Christ. You know, next week, if we get on this lesson, most likely we will, is to show you that God has a pattern laid down in the New Testament in respect to how you become a Christian the Bible's way. Wait, you have always thought that you join your denomination and I join mine and mine and the other man join his or hers. No, that's Satan's work. God's intent is that every man and woman become a Christian the very same way. Now, Brother Mitchell, you preach next week's sermon. No, sorry, next week when you come. That's right. But what I'm saying, God has a pattern in respect to how you become a Christian. You must accept that you are a sinner. You must accept that Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross to pay the price for your sin, which you could not pay. And you must accept Jesus Christ. That is, you must come to him. Respond to his invitation. Brother Mitchell, I didn't know that Jesus Christ gave an invitation. Yes! He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do you come to Jesus Christ? Through what I was saying. Hearing the gospel. believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as your Lord and Savior, as the only one who can address your sin problem. Wait, let me just drop this by. Do you know if you pray from now until thy kingdom come, that will not deal with your sin problem? You must get in touch with the blood of Jesus Christ. Mr. Mitchell, how do I do that? You are baptized. After you believe, and as a result of that faith or belief, you make up your mind to repent of your sin. That is turning away from all the ungodly, the sinful things that you know to be wrong in God's sight. That's what the Bible calls repentance, a turning in the right direction. When you repent and you're willing to confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to submit yourself in baptism. Wait. Sprinkling is not baptism. So if you have been sprinkled and you were deceived in believing it was baptism, no, baptism is a burial. Did you know that the Bible makes that very plain in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 3 through verse 5? That you are buried with Christ in baptism. So God has a plan to save you. But not just to save you, to save every man and woman. You must believe, repent, confess Christ's name, and get baptized in water for the removal of your sins.